You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Good Friday, 12 July. Chinese June exports came out an hour ago, 8.6% up. A year ago, it was -14.3. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, Skull Globe from PSG Old Oak. We have the Pick and Pay rights issue details, in part saved by a higher share price. We'll get Skulk's view on that. Cole Vestok from Time Bank, he's the new CEO. Asian markets, new products, and I think what everyone wants to know, when are they going to be listing? And then thoughts for me, how I once got trading very wrong and almost got delivered 200 tons of maize to my garden in Botha's Hill. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Orion Minerals aims to bring vibrancy back to the JSE with latest fundraising. Capital raises targeting 22,000 smaller shareholders. Business Day, Ford strike ends with 20,000 rand payout to workers. They receive the one-off payment each. No dismissals, says NUMSA. Morning markets, US was red, S&P down 0.9%, NASDAQ off 2.25%. East is almost all green, Sydney's up 0.33%, Tokyo is down 2%, Hong Kong up 1.8%, and Tencent up 2.6%. Commodities are mixed. On the green, we've got gold, $2,415 an ounce. Brent is weaker at $85.66, platinum higher at $1,016, and palladium down at $989. Rand is $17.99. Bitcoin is 57,000. And top 40 opening call, about 180 points or a quarter of a percent to the upside.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chaining up with Skulklo, PSG Old Oak. Skulk, appreciate the early morning. We finally got the T's and C's for the Pick and Pay rights issue. Raising 4 billion, we knew that. Issuing just over 250 million new shares, which is a 50% increase in shares. Take-up price, 1586. Your take on the terms and conditions here. The one thing that struck me is that the rally in the share price in the last couple of months meant they did get a higher take-up price, but it's still quite dilutive.
Yeah, good evening, Simon. Yeah, pick and pay for your rights issue. It's gonna be an interesting one, I would say. Remember, this is sort of the first step in their two-step recapitalization plan.
Yeah.
They're looking at this 4 billion, and then later this year they're looking to get another 6 to 8 billion rand, you know, through their Boxer spin-off or IPO. So we're looking at a recapitalization of let's call it anything between 10 and 11 billion rand. And they need this. I mean, this is a company that, you know, when you look at the Pick and Pay division, I mean, they made a loss recently, you know, 1.5 billion rand. You look at the group level, you know, over 3 billion, you know, rand loss. So I think there's, you know, the first question really is, you know, is this going to be enough? I think, you know, few major bigger investors out there, your fund managers out there, tend to think that the work still needs to be done. I mean, they now need to turn around this company. They identified, let's call it, close to 200 stores that needs to be closed. Mm-hmm. and they can only really, they've mentioned that they're only going to do about, you know, 112 stores, which they actually can close. So there's still 84 stores that's not performing. So they really need to use this capital now and turn around and start performing. But the rights issue, this is going to be a nice one. I mean, I think you mentioned it. It's sort of a get out of jail card, this recent rally in the share price.
Yeah.
I mean, March, the share price was trading pretty much at rights issue, you know, 15.86 rand, and then if that was the case, I think you would have had a, you know, very difficult take up on these rights shares. Now it's a sort of an incentive, I think originally when you saw the share price yesterday, that sort of told us the story. You know, the rights issue came out, they actually brought out the SENS announcement, share price I think immediately dropped something like 3%, and then as the shareholders or the Mr. Market started working through these numbers, they actually realized, wait a minute, this is actually not too bad. You know, share price turned around and eventually ended up close to 2.5% yesterday.
And you take the point, and looking at the market cap, it's only worth $13 billion. They're almost raising their entire market cap. But the key point that I take from what you're saying, the work still needs to be done. This is not a slam dunk. There's a lot more that Sean Summers, and I mean, if anyone can, he can, but there's a lot still needs to be done to get this business back in shape.
He's done it before. I think this is, yes, it's been, I think, what, something like 17 years ago. But, I mean, this is not his first rodeo, and not with Pick and Pie either. But you mentioned it, market cap close to 13 billion rand. I mean, and this is after the recent rally. They're still sitting with net debt, you know, on the balance sheet of over 6 billion rand. I mean, to put that in context, I mean, 13 billion market cap, 6 billion debt, that's really, really dangerous. And one of the, I would say, things that they need to focus on, and that's what they mentioned, they're going to use some of these proceeds to actually reduce their debt levels. Let's see if they can get it right. I mean, you've mentioned it. Would I back them to get this right? Yes, I do think so. But I think for the listeners out there and the people looking at this and say, well, this is a company that's been trading at 60, over 60 rand just a year ago. This must be a great. This is going to be a massive task. It's not something, this turnaround's not something. I mean, if you just look at, you know, the CEO's the whole structure, equity structure, this it's over a very long term. And let's see if they get it right. I think they will.
January last year, $60 a share. Today, $27.50. But as you point out, it was almost 15 rand back in March. Skoklo, Best Year Old Oak, always appreciate the early morning. And that's our question today, LinkedIn and Twitter. Do you think they can do this? Do you think Sean Summers is the right person? Will you be taking up your rights? Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
Your money can do more when it's investing with conviction. Our partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management gives you access to in-depth, broad market research and high-return investment strategies. So invest in a select set of companies with long-term structural growth potential with StanLib's Global Growth Fund. Seek more returns at stanlib.com/more. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
I'm chatting with Carl Veskov. He's TymeBank new CEO. Carl, appreciate the time today. Launched in February 2019 and kiosks, no branches at all, into what I got to say I would have thought was a crowded market. But 5 years, 9.5 million local customers later, a wild success.
It has been. Thanks, Simon. Obviously, the poll application process has been designed around to being frictionless and being where customers are. And when customers walk into the branch, it takes them all of 3 to 5 minutes to open a bank account and at the kiosk to be issued their debit card, which means they can immediately transact. So it's just a nice frictionless, easy process for customers.
And I suppose that's it, because, you know, banking, particularly with all the FICA and the sort of traditional banks, really had become a painful experience. And the secret here was, I mean, being where the customer was. I walk into my Pick and Pay, there's a kiosk, and literally within minutes.
And what's also helped us is we've got a couple of key philosophies in the business. One is we document free, so we don't deal with paper. Everything is electronic, everything is digital. We're also cashless, so we don't have to have the big infrastructure that banks have to handle cash. Our partners handle that for us, like the Pick and Pays, cash in, cash out of till, as well as ATMs. So it makes our business model so much simpler and easier for customers.
It reminds me of Christo De Wolf Bank 2020, which was probably ahead of its time. I mean, you really were able to leverage technology. And I know it's a cliche. Every business says they do, but you really were in the right space and able to properly do it.
It's also timing. So we're fortunate that we're in the age of mobile banking, so customers can use mobile phones to bank. Our whole technology stack is cloud native, so it's built in the cloud, which means it's easier to modify and upgrade. So we don't have the legacy infrastructure many of the banks have, having to manage branches and outlets.
Absolutely. I mean, we're seeing banks cut back on branches, but it's still a huge number. Back in the day when you first launched, it was all about goal save. And I remember when I was doing a podcast around financial well-being, and almost every question was around the goal save. That really was, it kind of sparked a resurgence almost in saving. It almost, I mean, I don't want to say it made it fun again, but it did create a huge interest in a space which, you know, saving's boring, but it worked.
Exactly. So we've now gone to GoalSave 2.0. It's just gone live a couple of weeks ago. It simplifies it. So some of the gamification around GoalSave became complex for customers. Mm-hmm. So we simplified it now. So at entry level, they get 7% regardless. If they do 10 transactions a month for 3 months and give 10 days notice, they can get up to 11%, which is by far the highest savings rate in the market.
How important was that gamification in the process? I appreciate your point that perhaps it did get a little complex, but certainly it also created, I suppose, some fun around it and made banking less boring.
It does, but it's also tied into the app experience. So in the app, you don't want a ton of tabs. You want to know what these things look like and feel like. And certainly we've advanced it even further in the Philippines in our GoTime Bank, where we've made it very customer-centric, the app environment. And some of that's going to come back to South Africa to improve our experience here as well.
You also now do sort of fully functional traditional banking. And if you're smart around it, it is free banking. And again, I can remember days of crazy banking fees. It really is, again, talking to that customer and offering what they want, which is a simple traditional bank account where they can pay bills, receive salaries.
Spot on. So we have it's a zero monthly fee account, so there's no cost to have the account open, which also talks to multi-banking at the moment. So we're not forcing customers to move off their traditional bank. They can open a second bank account and they can transact for free in most cases. There's always a path for free banking in TymeBank. And essentially, we charge the value-added services side. So if they want to buy lotto tickets or if they want to buy electricity or airtime, there's a small fee attached to that, but otherwise, it's free banking.
You mentioned multi-banking there, and I was chatting with David Shapiro recently. Him and I, of the older generation, we have one bank account because that's how we did it. But the youth these days, they don't. They will have multiple banks. Now, I've got friends who will have a bank account, and that's their holiday savings. Others use the Goal Save and the like. Multi-banking is the trend, and it needs to then either be A, frictionless, and B, cheap/free to really work.
And fortunately, the rails are going that route as well. So with the launch of PayShap, you know, to move money between accounts is, from a TymeBank perspective, is free. We don't charge for PayShap. The other banks are charging still, but smaller amounts. So it is becoming frictionless between banking accounts. And certainly when you create the highest savings rate in the market in your deposit account, in your savings account, people can move money from their primary account into us and out for next to no cost.
How's take-up of PayShap been? I use it. I think it's an absolutely great product and getting more and more of my friends on it. Is it getting good take-up?
Within our environment, it is. Look, I think we were 30-35% of the market. Our PayShap transactions was just TymeBank. So we're adopting it aggressively. It's on the low side, I think, at an industry level, but it'll take time to build experience. What banks are also using is they're using the PayShap rails as almost a least cost routing mechanism. So the old rails that cost more, they can now route through the PayShap rails.
You've also now got business banking. And again, I look at this as a very crowded space, a very traditional sort of banking environment, but I suppose one that you and your colleagues looked at and thought this is ripe for some disruption.
You'd have seen the other new competitive banks coming out talking about the cost of business banks. And you can 10x the cost of a personal bank if you want a business bank typically in South Africa. So we've added a what we call an EDA Plus account, Everyday Plus account, which basically means you can use actually your fully functional TymeBank Everyday account and allocate that as a business bank account. It's aimed at sole proprietors. Mm-hmm. They once again can get free banking and all the benefits of the payment rails, as well as the savings and all the other value-added services attached to it.
You mentioned Philippines a moment ago. You've got some 3 million customers there. You're also now into Vietnam. You're going to be into Indonesia by the end of the year. My sense around it, notwithstanding 3 million is a giant number, it's a careful expansion, but certainly focusing on Asia.
The backbone of this whole thing is, so we have a tech team sitting in Vietnam, Ho Chi Minh City largely, of 400 engineers, and all they do is they build global banking platforms for us. So we have the base foundation to go anyway. Philippines is very fast growing. If you take, you know, we're 60-odd million people in South Africa. Yeah. You know, Philippines is 120 million, Vietnam's 100 million, and then Indonesia's the third, fourth largest, most populous country in the world. So you talk about 500 million people you can serve. So certainly with our teams in Philippines, Vietnam, Singapore, the expansion is a natural place to go, and obviously the scale is enormous.
What sort of market is that? I mean, South Africa is known for having a fairly advanced banking market, and I say that almost in inverted commas, because in some sense it's a very traditional but advanced banking market. And 20 years ago, we had a huge population unbanked. That no longer the case. What's it like in those markets?
So Philippines in particular is still almost a wallet-based market. So they're probably 30% banked, as we know, a bank account. Wow. But 90% of them are running wallets through the likes of GCash, et cetera. But there's a big move for adoption. So, I mean, Philippines, fortunately for us, GoTime has become very much a mainstream bank, not an entry-level bank. So it's been adopted as a mainstream bank. Obviously, when we started there 18-odd months ago, we put a fully functional bank account in, unlike when we started 5 years ago in South Africa. So adoption is very strong. Brand is very strong. It's the fastest growing bank at the moment in Philippines. And we're seeing similar demographics in the Vietnams and the Indonesias.
Last question. I always get asked two questions around TymeBank. The first is around your GoSave. Is it really a good rate? The answer to that is easy. It is. The other question is, when do you list? My understanding, it's on the horizon, but it's probably, what, 3-4 years away perhaps?
The internal plan's 4 years away. I mean, Poon's going to drive that for us in his current and new role as chairman of the group. We are looking at a New York Stock Exchange listing 4 years' time, with probably a secondary listing in South Africa. But we need to build out new markets and get scale in some of those markets to justify an international listing. But we're well on track.
We'll leave it at Corvus. He's at TymeBank CEO. Appreciate the time.
Your money knows it's not just about the money. It's about your returns, returning the favor, and empowering people. Your money can do more to change the narrative. Beyond delivering consistent returns, investing in the Stanlib Kanyisa Impact Investment Fund can help eradicate poverty and protect the environment. Invest for more impact at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
See, here's a story. I've told bits of it over the time, but it's now almost 20 years ago, so let's tell the whole story. It's about 2005. I'm living down in KZN. I'm trading Aussie index futures. I'm making some money. I'm doing 5-minute, 15-minute, 60-minute charts, and it's going nicely. So I think to myself, hey, why not try agri futures? How much harder can it be? Surely. Just more profit. There are a couple of important differences. The agri-futures market closes at midday, I suppose, so farmers can go and farm. And they've got this thing called limit up and limit down. So if the contract closed at, say, 1,000 today, then tomorrow it can't trade above 1,050 or below 950. Prevents big losses, but also, of course, prevents you having a really, really big day. You're only ever going to make a couple of percentage. Anyway, set it up, start trading white maize, yellow maize. It's not going great. I'm not making money. I'm not losing big, but it's not like my Aussie futures, which is profitable. It's a struggle, quite truthfully. And then one day, I've got two contracts, and I get a phone call. It makes no sense. There's someone on the other side of the line. He's got a thick Afrikaans accent. He's speaking to me in Afrikaans. Something about delivery, something about a silo. He's got no interest in explaining the details to me. He wants my fax number. Yeah, fax number, which I give him. He puts the phone down and I get faxed a document. It still makes no sense, but I start to suspect I am in trouble, big trouble perhaps. So I call a contact at SAFEX, South African Futures Exchange, and say to them, what's the story? He laughs. He laughs a lot. He says, I've been delivered on. He says, there's a silo in the Free State with my maize. Understand, every contract is 100 tons. Two contracts, 200 tons of maize. I physically own it. I need to fetch it. Turns out, in the agri space, last contract month is delivery month. Anyone can, at any point, deliver on you, your maize, which you want. Except, I don't want maize. Two contracts, 200 tons of maize. Panic. Panic isn't even close to what's happening. I figure it's about 300 cubic meters. I live in Bothus Hill, on an acre of land. I reckon I've probably got the space to put 200 tons of maize on the top level of the property. It'll be about a meter deep. But that solves nothing, right? That solves absolutely nothing. More panic. Phone my SAFEX contact again. He says, look, you got to go down to your bank. You got to pay for it. You got to get a letter of credit, something. I don't remember much. It was 20 years ago. And it was panic. Anyway, I head down to my bank. This is an old school days, right? The bank manager knows who you are when I walk in. They give me a letter of something. I fax it back to my silo man in the Free State. And the next morning, I get a delivery slip. So now I've got the story and I've got my maze. And apparently what I now need to do is I need to deliver onto somebody else. Somebody who actually will use 200 tons of maize. You know, a chicken farmer, a baker, somebody like that. So I fax it off to my silo man, and he now actually chats to me because he thinks this is the funniest thing that ever happened. This city slicker has been caught out. He is telling the whole of the Free State knows the story. So I deliver onto somebody else. A real person gets my 200 tons of maize. Problem solved, panic subsiding. I close the account. I never trade agri-futures ever again in my life. Lesson learned. Know the rules of what you're trading. That's it for today. We were chatting with Kabelo Makeke from Standard Bank yesterday. The rise in first-time home buyers, it's about 50%. That is surprising. High rates, horror inflation, living costs, etc. We asked if you had got a new home loan in the last year. A third said you already had. A third each said you already have. And some of you are saying actually renting for the win. And then the rest were saying, you know what? Yes, super exciting. Happy to have my new house. But it was still at chunky numbers coming through there. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website in the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobokhle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday, young investors.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.